Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to our show. I don't want to discriminate bad people. Welcome everyone who want to learn more about digital marketing, about SEO, and especially AI. It's very important today to implement AI, to find out the way how to create high-quality text by using AI. That is why I'm so excited to discuss this topic with Kate Starr. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Looking forward to learn more about AI, about writing, about content creation, SEO, many different topics. I know about your great experience. You worked on SEMrush for a long time. You wrote many articles for Paklinka. So that is why I have too many questions that I want to know, and my audience will love to learn more about that. I know how it's important today to create quality, especially today. We don't create content for SEO, we create content for GEO as well, generative engine experience, or you can call like search everywhere optimization. So it doesn't matter which models you like more, but it's important to bring value and quality. Okay, tell more about your experience, background, because I know that you wrote even for Backlinko. You know, I love this blog. I love Brandon. When he started this blog, I learned a lot. But you put your content to this blog. So let us know more about your background.
First of all, thank you for inviting me. And I'm excited to discuss this topic with you. The hottest topic of the year, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm Kate Starr, a content consultant for startups and senior writer for MarTech brands like SEMrush. And I've put quite a lot of articles on Backlinko to help startups, small businesses, and marketers to create high-quality content and deal with their marketing, even in this age of AI. And after almost a decade of marketing, I'm actually learning new ways to work faster with AI without losing storytelling and strategy behind what goes into quality content.
Of course, it's important. Even today, I like GEO more than SEO. Let me explain why. Because in GEO, I think it's tough to recognize this algorithm. A few days ago, someone shared Perplexity algorithm. When I learned about this 59 optimizations tips, I got it. It's better to think more about human being. And today, SEO and GEO is coming to the foundation of marketing that was before digital, because digital changed direction a little bit. I think like in digital, people started to think more about optimization to satisfy robots, search engines. But today, when AI is going fast, when Google launched AI mode, we have ChatGPT, Perplexity. Today, I think it's better to think more about human psychology, how to create content for human being, because that was before optimization tips. And when you create better content than competitors have, then you have a great chance to satisfy any algorithm. What do you think about that, about optimization for AI search today?
Yes, I agree. Like, even though people are talking that more and more people are turning to ChatGPT or other AI tools to get answers to their questions, even Google shows you AI answers first. But it's as you said, it's becoming more and more important to answer the people's queries in a more personal way and satisfy all their questions from experience.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Kate, I want to ask about AI detection. You mentioned that you use AI to increase your speed, probably quality, but for me, I use a lot AI. And personally, I don't care about AI detectors. Even we created our own detector, even before many other tools, we created this because that was hot topic. And the first version of ChatGPT created some useless content, and many marketers say that it this tool can't be real manual writing. It's impossible. It doesn't have emotions. But I remember someone posted a book written by AI, and many people cried by reading this book because this book could touch emotions. And today I don't see when people can laugh about the quality. So mostly many writers, they usually drive AI to create quality. So basically, if you ask me to write any content about weight loss, I can't. I can't because I'm not an expert on that. Even that I lost my weight, yeah, I had some problem in the past. So I decided to find a way. I did it. I lost weight, but I can't teach others. So if you ask me to write a great article about weight loss, I can't, even by using ChatGPT. But if you ask me about digital marketing, SEO, I can because I work on this niche. I love this niche. It's my passion. So what your thoughts about AI detection today? Do we need to consider this metric? Do we need to analyze with AI detectors and how it can impact to Google?
Yeah, based on my experience, all these AI detectors, they cannot really detect AI written content. Sometimes they mess it up and show that it's AI generated content when it's fully human written, and it can be vice versa as well. And I don't think that it's that much important to use this detector tools, because as long as there is value in the content and as long as it resonates with the audience and it reads flawlessly, then I don't see any use of using AI detectors.
Yeah, I think so as well. Kate, you know, I remember when I started to learn about Brian Dean, and I learned a lot from him, and I like his style to create less but super high quality, to write in simple way, short sentences, to use empty lines between paragraphs, use just one sentence in paragraph. So do you consider your own style by posting content on Backlinko, or you use branding style that Backlinko has?
At Backlinko, we actually kept some of Brian Dean's style, because it's really what makes it unique. In a way, like, people liked to read Brian Dean's articles because it was so easy to read. That is actually the way I also write. And most of the writers in Backlinko, like, we focus on writing in a way that's easier to understand for everyone. And especially, like, it's easy for people to lose focus. So, like, using smaller sentences and a simpler language, it actually makes it so much easier to understand, especially, like, the complex topics. Sometimes we get into technicalities, so it's really important to keep that simple style.
Yeah, I remember Joe Sugarman wrote a book. He was one of the best marketers in the US before digital, and he wrote a book that you need to use short sentences because it's readable, you know.
Yes.
And today, if you use long, hard written sentences, people can leave your content, and we have this bounce rate. It's high. That is why, by the way, in our tool set, Content Editor, we created this matrix, readability. We can highlight hard written sentences, simple written, medium. So we pay too much attention to that because it's important. But anyway, it's important to learn your audience as well. So you can't use the same style for any cases. And Kate, I have the question about learning the audience. Okay, you have a lot of data from SEMrush, a lot of great data, but each case is different. And I still love old style to speak with customers, to learn from salespeople, to understand the audience more deeply. What do you think, how we need to mix data from SEMrush or any other tools similar with going ahead more deeply to your audience insights?
Yeah, getting to know the audience is becoming more and more important, I think, because the more you understand the audience, then you can really create the content that resonates with them and answers their questions. Relying on tools is good because it gives you the data and then your decisions are backed up by data. But actually talking to the customers is still very important. And in this digital space, we don't really talk with customers face to face. But one great way to understand the audience, the one that I rely on a lot of the times, is Reddit. Because like people there discuss what their struggles are, what solutions they are looking for. So it's a really great way to look for what people are looking for and also combine it with data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned about Reddit. Let's go deeply about Reddit, because Google uses Reddit ranks high. Uses this data to train AI. I know Perplexity can consider Reddit, ChatGPT. So probably all these AI models try to learn human content. It's not like well-structured for AI. In order to get SEO traffic, they just learn forums, you know, where people can share user-generated content. For me, I mean, like, in Reddit, it's tough to consider EEAT. I mean, like, when you write for Backlinko, probably your EEAT high because you have authority, you have trust. You can highlight your experience in a section bio. You have special style, but on Reddit, it's not the same. And all AI models love user-generated content. What do you think about that? Why AI pays too much attention to Reddit? Because many experts can say no, they don't understand why Reddit, because it's not like it's against EEAT parameter, because you can learn on Reddit such things. What do you think about that?
I think the reason Reddit is very important is that there's real people discussing real things, like asking real questions, and then other people are answering based on their experience, which is getting more and more important with by the time, because like everyone now, everyone can create content with AI, and actually considering people's experiences is becoming more important, because that's what makes content more relatable, more engaging, and more authoritative as well. And that's what also makes EEAT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, important. Yeah. Nice. Kate, I want to ask about writing headlines. You know, I open Backlinko. I'm checking your last article, 15 marketing ideas for your small businesses, in brackets plus free checklist. If you check out this headline in my headline quality calculator that we created, and let me explain why we decided to create this calculator. Basically, we got a client. And the niche was weight loss supplements in the US. And the main problem with this client that he couldn't grow traffic for 3 years. So 3 years, he got the same traffic that go down, up a little bit, but the same 100,000 people a month. Not bad, by the way. Not bad, but all businesses want to grow. So, and when he came to us, he told, we tried everything. To rewrite content, to update, to create new content, to use link building, to increase authority, many things. Nothing helped. So when we analyzed this website, we found that many meta tags, titles, and descriptions were written for the sake of having them. Nothing special. So we decided to rewrite. And we learned a lot about this topic from HubSpot study, from Moz study, how to convince people to give a strong reason to click and open content. Then in a month, traffic increased two times. Two times that this business couldn't do for 3 years. So we just rewrote all meta tags because all content creators just updated or created new content and they ignored one simple thing. And we learned from this thing from how it's called. Sorry, I forgot this name. But anyway, so we've learned, David Ogilvy. So he shared about that before digital. So if you invest $1 to content, 80% should come to writing title. 60 symbols can give a strong reason people to click. So we did it. That is why we created this headline quality calculator. And if I check out your headline, I can see it's almost close to 200, you know. So tell, do you have your headline quality calculator or it's your natural way to write headlines like that?
Yes, so over time we learn how to write headlines in a way that people want to open. So yeah, it basically comes down to human psychology, because like this headline has to be very specific and show the readers what the article is about and what they will get if they open the article, because that's the first thing that they see, obviously, when they see your page on Google. So it's, I think, one of the most important things.
Yeah, of course.
Parts of the content, yeah.
You know, I think you don't need my headline quality calculator. If you want to check out the test to play, you can. But, you know, it's you're more natural, you know, or probably experience, you know, because I see marketers often have intuition, you know, and sometimes intuition can beat data, you know. So you can get a lot of data, but if you feel in your heart because of intuition, because of experience, you can forecast something and do much better. Okay, Kate, I want to ask about the topic that New York Times posted a few days ago, that SEO is dead. But that was only in headline that we discussed with you. So, and in the context, that was described better, but we know many people just read headlines. Okay, SEO is dead, leave it. I need to find another channel, it doesn't work. What do you think about SEO? Let's think about future. Of course, SEO is not that. SEO still brings a lot of traffic. I'm not sure about the future. I think like many things will change. And according to Semrush, geo can become, I think, like in 2-3 years. I mean, like traffic from AI search can go, can be more than traffic from search engines. Your prediction about SEO future?
Yeah, I think it's a really hot topic to talk about SEO being dead, but I think that it has shifted, and it's at least it's not dead at the moment. So Google now shows AI results, AI answers in the results first. But the thing is, those tools don't generate knowledge out of thin air. They rely on, they pull this information from valuable content that is published around the web. And some of them get cited directly in those answers. So I think that moving forward, we should all focus on creating content that really satisfies users' intent. And instead of thinking that AI is stealing our traffic, think of it as making valuable content and something that AI can cite your resource to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you mentioned about valuable content. I want to know what valuable content means, because I still get the question. When marketers say you need to create valuable content, high quality content, but how to measure this value that your content is valuable?
Yeah, so by valuable content, I mean creating content that provides readers with the value they're looking for. For example, they could be searching for ways to lose weight. And instead of generic results, like if they see something that is based on someone's experience and with actionable step-by-step guide on how to do it, then I would consider it valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think value depends on audience. Yeah. So if audience are beginners,
yes,
you can create like 101 article, you know, and it brings value. So if your audience more advanced, probably they need some practical tips, advice, anything like that. Yeah. Kate, I want to discuss some optimization tips about GEO. The last time I started to learn more tips from self-proclaimed experts, and some of these tips you need to write like AI search. I mean, like you need to write like AI mod, just replicate the same, then you have a good chance to rank on this model. For me, it's useless. I mean, like you don't need to write for like AI search. What is the reason for AI search? To show what AI search can do. I mean, like to replicate this content and put the link. So can you tell your tips how optimize for AI search?
I think the most important thing is to clearly answer the specific questions that mm-hmm. people are using, because now the keywords are changing as well, because the people are using longer keywords, like they are searching questions instead of like shorter keywords. So if your content answers the question, specific questions in a structured way, that is easier for AI models to extract information from. And also, like we talked a lot, like it should also provide value, and the content should be original, not something that everyone else is writing about. Building the authority is also becoming very important, because as you get more and more authority, AI models also recognize you as a reliable source.
Yeah, according to Perplexity leak that I've learned, authority plays a huge role. So
yes,
link building, PR, still very important. And I think like Perplexity usually index content as Google does, but then after having this content, Perplexity has algorithm to measure authority and decide which content is better. But one more thing that I want to ask about blogging, especially SEO blogging. Brian Dean said, someone asked Brian Dean if he started today a new business, what would he do? And he replied, probably today, if you rely on SEO, is not a good idea. Only SEO. You need to optimize, like many can say, like search everywhere optimization. I'm interested about future of blogging, especially SEO blogging. So we can see today many publishers lose traffic, many bloggers lose traffic, because what is the reason for people to go to any blog if Google can reply, ChatGPT can reply to these questions? And I'm not sure about the future, because for a few decades, we wrote a lot of blog posts. I can count them, plus 1,000 blog posts for many clients. And that was our main strategy, to write blog posts, to acquire traffic, to put to lead people in the sales funnel, to submit, to put our call to actions in this blog post. But what about the future? What do you think today? Do we need to still write blog posts, or if we need to write, then how to market them? I mean, like, or how to rely or think about to getting this traffic?
Yeah, I think now people are getting information from various sources. So that's why search everywhere is becoming more trendy now. TikTok is getting like a search engine. YouTube is getting more and more like a search engine. The presence on those platforms is going to be more valuable, like alongside with SEO. They can supplement each other, and I think brands should not rely on just one platform to drive traffic.
Yeah. But anyway, I think overwriting blog posts, I'm not sure it's a good idea. I mean, like to write blog posts, if you can get ROI back from other channels. For example, I write blog posts because I have plus 40,000 people who can read my LinkedIn newsletter. So basically I can get traffic from LinkedIn, I can get traffic from other channels, and if I feel that it brings value and can bring sales back without relying on SEO, why not? I will do it. But if you write in order to optimize for keywords to get this traffic, probably it's obsolete strategy today. Yeah. And it will be tough future for for such strategy, because we see even big publications lose a lot of traffic. Kate, I see on your LinkedIn profile X Semrush. Can you explain? So you're with Semrush or not?
At the moment, I'm not.
Okay, got it, got it. So tell about your next step.
My next step is I already stepped into consulting, and I help startup founders and marketers to build content strategies that can drive traffic organically.
Okay, I can become your one of the first customers, really, because we created our tool. So I want to get consulting from great experts who have experience with Semrush. So we have our tool, our strong side. So I can become a customer or probably can co-found my tool. I don't know. We'll see. So, but okay, what you can propose for newcomers? Let's imagine Semrush, Ahrefs, SimilarWeb, big companies with a lot of resources, with high recognition, and newcomers who have passion, have something unique, wanna jump on this field. What will you do in your strategy differently for such companies?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend getting multi-channel approach, because relying only on SEO today is not the best strategy anymore. I'm not saying that it's useless at all, but presence on social media like TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, like depending on the business, of course, is gonna supplement SEO as well. So that would be my first suggestion.
Of course, of course. And what do you think about keyword research? I mean, like, if today people started to use AI mod, and for me, keywords, this type of questions temporarily replace long questions, because Google and other search engines couldn't recognize the real question. So people started to use keywords. But today, ChatGPT can recognize any question. Google can recognize. Technologies allow us to recognize questions and to reply with the right context. What do you think about keyword research? Will be any future on this field or not?
I think that it's more important to research the questions that people are having now. And then if you are doing SEO as well, then you can validate your keywords using this keyword research tools to get the feel of what's the data that's behind those keywords. I think understanding people's questions is more important, and then validating it with data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. So today, keyword research plays a role, but we'll see about the future. And for me, it's important to adapt. Whatever happens, just adapt, try new things, test them, especially we have GPT-5, so I started to test a little bit. It's not like this tool could surprise me, because ChatGPT surprise, all many models surprise, but probably I need more time. But I recommend to anyone, just if something new happens, jump on this field. Okay, let's talk about AI agents. What do you think about that? How it's important today to play with AI agents to implement in business models?
I think that it's a very interesting thing happening, because it can really take off a lot of workload from us. Like I've experimented with AI ChatGPT agent a little bit, yeah, it gives surprisingly good results. I think that it takes off hard work from us and helps us focus more on the strategy and creativity.
Of course, yeah, it's important to test. It's important to test because. If you spend like 30 minutes, probably it's tough to get results. If you spend like days, many days, every single day, search, you know, to fail many times, you know, basically I failed many times in many different things. Remember when I decided to start PR for one client. So we paid $6,000 for one press release to distribute, to write. But we needed to write 12 press releases a week, so it's crazy money. So, and I started, okay, what I need to do? I need to learn about PR. And all my press releases for 3 months got zero links, zero mentions, nothing. But I acquired experience. After 3 months, I got a few backlinks, a few mentions. Then I got it. Oh, I understand that, but. And we got even great results for some press releases. We got mentions on CNN, Forbes, Business Insider, Bloomberg. But nobody saw that I failed first three months. Then in 6 months, I got a little bit some backlinks, mentions. So yeah, it takes time at any niche, whatever you do. Kate, I want to ask about EEAT. Okay, we have AI, we have many things. You write for Backlinko, so you have this recognition. Can you tell how to hire right copywriters today? I mean, like, I see when businesses fire copywriters, don't cooperate with them, but after ChatGPT, I didn't stop cooperation with any copywriters because I usually cooperate with experts. I never cooperate with copywriters. I did it before 2019, but when Google launched this algorithm EAT that updated to EEAT, Experience Expert Authority Trust, and since then we cooperate only with experts. So we usually search for experts who write about special topics, then we analyze if these experts acquire traffic, if they have organic reach, we start to cooperate with them. What do you think, how it's important today to consider this parameter, especially in AI search?
Yeah, it's very important because since the EEAT was introduced, people and also the algorithms prioritize content that comes from experts. And for obvious reasons, because they can share their experiences and that resonates with people and people can trust it. So,
Kate, I have my final question about the future of Kate Star. Can you imagine what kind of future will be for a person, Kate Star, in 5 years and 10 years, considering what's going on in this world?
Yeah, it's like, especially now, it's really hard to imagine like what's going on and what's where any of us will be, because like I think the industry is shifting a lot. Obviously, it's not dying, I wouldn't call it that, but it's shifting, and so are we, as we are learning more and more things. And yeah, hopefully I will be shifting alongside with it.
Okay, so you don't build long plans, you just go step by step.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Kate, it's a big pleasure to get on my show, to learn from you. I love this experience. Welcome back anytime to share more valuable insights. So I recommend to anyone to follow Kate Star. And today it's a new consultant on this world, you know, so if you want to learn more about real B2B, probably B2B, because Kate has great experience with SaaS products and even digital marketing, SEO, because another background from Backlinko, reach out to Kate and let her know that you found her on this podcast. Okay, guys, love you. See, by the way, Kate, tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
The best way to reach out to me is through LinkedIn. I'm Kate Starr. You will find me through Kate Starr.
Okay, guys, if you can't find this tough name, Kate Starr, 2 R in the end, then you can find the link in the description below to this podcast. But just type Kate, KateStarr, and you can find Kate Starr on LinkedIn and connect and let her know that you found on this podcast. Okay, guys, love you. See you.
Thank you.